Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
You know, one thing that I didn't say during first service is something that's coming up on June 1st. And if you are a homeschool parent, or you're thinking about homeschooling your kids, we are going to have an interest meeting. And what an interest meeting means is, like, let's just see who's interested in this, about possibly starting a homeschool co-op to support, like, spiritually and academically support our parents and students who are really in this homeschool lane of education. And so it's not that this is not like some announcement, like, this is what we're starting this at Hope City. This is just an interest meeting to see, like, is there even a need here, and is this something that you would want to do? So if that piques you a little bit, you get the word out June 1st here at 6 p.m. We're going to have that interest meeting and just talk about, like, what might it look like, okay? All right. So we are continuing this series that we're in about the mask of religion. And really, I'm just taking a deep breath in a moment, because Holy Spirit just keeps downloading some things to me. So I'm just kind of slowing myself down and listening to what he's saying, okay? Really, what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks, is what we've been unmasking the spirit of religion. And sometimes that can sound really contradictory. Like, how could there be, like, a demonic spirit called religion when religion is supposed to be all about, like, worshiping God? Okay, but let me tell you how religion works. Religion highlights work and action and makes sure, like, there's an adherence to law and works, but it ignores the condition of the soul. Okay, so it encourages us to look really good on the outside, while we pay no attention to the posture of our hearts. Okay? That's what the spirit of religion does. In soul care terms, if you've been through soul care, you should do it again, probably. I don't think anybody should ever just do soul care one time, just so you know. So, soul care is coming again in the fall, and maybe this is your invitation right now. Maybe you've been thinking about, like, what do I need? You need soul care. So just get that in your head. But in soul care terms, religion would be classified as a false protector. Okay? And a false protector, we teach in soul care, is actually a demonic spirit that has an assignment. Yeah. Okay? That's what it is. And the assignment of that false protector is to keep you away from Father God, to keep you away from Jesus, to keep you away from the Holy Spirit. And the assignment of religion is to focus on doing rather than being. Doing all of the right things, but yet not being the person that God created you to be. Not being and identifying as a son or daughter. Yeah. Okay? Last week, Pastor Cherie was here, and during our prayer time, we were kind of talking about this, and Pastor Cherie said, let's not forget where the spirit of religion was born, how it was born out of. And she reminded us of how the spirit of religion was actually born through the religious leaders of ancient times, of biblical times, because they were so, so afraid of not adhering to God's laws that it became the forefront. They acted out of fear, and they behaved in ways out of fear that they were going to somehow not meet all of the criteria of the laws or obey the laws. And so the spirit of religion is born out of fear. I want to remind you of 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen. Of power, of love, and a self-discipline. So I want to quickly recap kind of where we are in the book of Matthew and what's going on. We are in the last week of Jesus' life, right? We've already, he's done the triumphal entry where people have recognized, like, whoo, this new king and Hosanna, and we see you, Jesus. We're so excited you're here. And he's in Jerusalem. And right now, at this moment, he's in the temple. And he's had several different conversations. He's kind of going from position to position in the temple, talking to people. He's also talking to people as they come to him. And he actually just finished talking to a group of religious leaders called Sadducees. And he had silenced them with the response to their question. And if you haven't been here, I want to remind you or tell you that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were of the same Jewish religion, but they had two different beliefs regarding one thing, and that was the resurrection, okay? So they were both Jewish, but they had a divided opinion on the resurrection from death, but they were united in this desire to trap Jesus so they could kill him. That's what they were united in. Because of this reason, Jesus was a threat to religion. Yeah. Jesus is a threat to religion. So I want us to pick up in Matthew chapter 22, right where we left off last week. 22 verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Yeah. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. I want you to understand what he's saying. Because what he's saying is the entire book of law, which we would know it as the first five books of the Bible, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those were considered the books of law to the Jewish people. And he's saying everything in the book of law, in those five books of the five first books of the Bible, every law, every command, everything that you should do or shouldn't do is tied up in this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He made that pretty simple, didn't he? He makes it pretty simple for us. He layered it down to this two things. Love God, love people. Love God. Does that sound familiar? Right? If you've been around Hope City for any amount of time, you might recognize this as the mission of Hope City. Why do we exist? To love God and to love people. That's the mission of Hope City. Love God, love people. It's simple. Jesus makes it really simple. Love God and love people. Well, how do we do that? Well, we love God with everything. Yeah. We love God with everything, and we love people out of our relationship with him. Yep. Right? I want you to understand how religion works. Religion argues and then looks for ways to trap people in their words. That's how religion works. Just like this group of Pharisees, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Guys, listen. Stop arguing with people. Stop arguing with people, expecting them to suddenly accept God's truth. Like, you're such a good debater that you can argue them into a relationship with Jesus. That's religion. That's religion. Are you ready for this? There's not a slide for you to take a picture of, but this is a little nugget that God dropped on my heart as I was preparing this message. You ready? You might want to write it down. Even truth can host religion when delivered in debate. Yeah, here we go. You ready? Even truth can host religion when delivered in debate. Stop arguing. Love God. Love people. Let's just focus on those two things for just the last few minutes today. Love God with everything. That's what Jesus is saying. That the most important thing, the most important command that you can obey is to love God with everything. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And what Jesus was doing, and I've said this for a few times now, but I'm going to say it again. What Jesus is doing is he's actually reciting scripture to them that they already know. This, what he just recited to them, was out of Deuteronomy 6. And it was called the Shema. The religious people, the Jewish people, actually recited this every single day. It was part of, and it still is, part of their daily routine. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." So they knew exactly what he was saying because they said it every day out loud. They recited it. I want to show you how Deuteronomy chapter 6 continues. "And you must wholeheartedly, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Guys, I want you to hear what God was saying through Moses when Moses wrote this. He's saying everything we talk about should be a reflection of our relationship with Father God. All of our conversations should be a reflection of our relationship with Father God. Every word that comes out of our mouth should point others to Jesus. Everything that we do. And it's very easy to get that. When what he's saying, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about it, right? When you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Talk about Jesus. Can I just tell you what these poor religious people did, though? They lost that first part. And they took it so literally. Well, how are we going to do this? Oh, we're going to tie them to our hands and wear them on our foreheads and write them on the doorposts. And here's what they would do. They actually wore the law on their body. They would. They would take little tiny scrolls and write out all the law and put them in these boxes and wear them on their heads and sew them into the hems of their garments. And they would write the law on their doorposts at home. They took... Okay. Listen, I love Hobby Lobby as much as the next person, but no little Jesus scripture from Hobby Lobby on my wall makes it sink into my heart. Right? So, I mean... Maybe some of you have something on your wall about like how peace lives here, but your life is surrounded in chaos.
It's good.
Right? Come on. Love grows here, but you're gossiping about your neighbor to your next door friend. It means nothing to write something on our walls if we're not living it out in our hearts. It means nothing to wear a shirt about how here comes the church at Hope City and then act like a jerk in the line at the grocery store. Please don't. Listen, I frequently wear Hope City gear out in public to keep me nice. Hey, listen. Right? It's a heart check. Like, ooh, Jesus, let me be a reflection of you. Right? Let me be a reflection of you. Listen, if you are in a bad mood, please take off your Hope City gear. Just saying. Or stay home. Actually, that's a much better idea. Do not get out of your car and go anywhere in public until your heart is connected with the Father. Do not. And if you can't shake that mood... stay home until you can. I don't know. That's a freebie. It's not even in my notes.
Can we get a pastor note?
Okay. Love God with everything, guys. Your heart, your words, your conversation, your money, your time. God first. And what's second? People. Love people deeply and constantly. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus spoke this to them, he was tying it back to another portion of the law. So, Jesus doesn't just like speak something that's like that they never even understood. Like, oh man, I never knew that. He speaks something that he knows that they've all read. And it was in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. How many of you have held a grudge against someone? Don't raise your hand, please. Right? Guys, I cannot love others if I don't first love God. And neither can you. You cannot love other people well if you do not love God. and if you are not living in connection with him. You cannot love other people well. This is something that is constantly being, it's a cycle within the church, not just Hope City, within the church as a whole. This cycle of forgetting how much we should be loving Jesus. You know how I know it's a cycle? Because even in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the apostle John on his final, it's like John's on an island, and he's going to die on this island alone. And he gets this revelation of Jesus in heaven, and Jesus is talking to him. And he said, I want you to tell this to these seven. He writes this letter, gives John a letter to deliver. Well, I don't know how he delivered it. It was for the seven different churches across the world. And to one of the churches, he wrote this. I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You know, a new relationship, whether it's like a romantic relationship or just a new friendship that's building into something more, it's like exciting, right? It's exciting. You're getting to know someone. It's fun. It's time consuming. And that new relationship is going to take one of two turns. It's either going to turn into a cold relationship, which is boring, not exciting, something you fall back on when there's nothing better to do. Or it turns into a steady relationship, one that's constantly growing and deepening and learning new things. And our relationship with Jesus needs time and discipline to deepen and broaden and become constant. Our relationship with other people is a direct reflection of our relationship with Jesus. So, who do you spend your time with? Who are you spending the majority of your time with? How are you spending your time? What's being discussed? Is it honoring God? Is it pointing people to God? Is it pointing you back to God? Or is it spent tearing other people down? Or encouraging you to do things that are outside of God's plan for you? Something that God reminded me this week as I was preparing this message is love doesn't mean tolerance.
Yeah.
Love does not mean tolerance. We don't tolerate or accept sin in the name of loving others. We speak truth, but we do it in love. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, it says this. Then we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Paul is talking about as you mature in your relationship with Christ, this is what happens, okay? We won't be blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. As we get ready to close today, I wanted to share something with you. Like, I find this funny. Every time that, and if you were here first service, yeah, this is actually what was in my notes. I just didn't just say it first service, okay? But every time I'm preaching God usually gives me an opportunity to like practice it during the week, okay? And this past year at my job that I work at Monday through Friday has been really, really challenging. One of the things I've always loved about this job is that I show up there, I do what I need to do, and I leave, and I don't have to think about it. And this last year has not been that way for me. There's been a lot of drama. Where there's people, there is drama, just so you know, okay? There's been a lot of drama, and it's affected our workplace environment. I have had to personally file like formal complaints against people. I'm not a complaint filing type of person, okay? And this last week, I think it was like on Wednesday maybe. No, it was Thursday actually. It was Thursday. I was talking to one of my leads, and I said, I wish this person would just recognize and own what has happened and say, I am sorry that I let this team down. And I know I have lost your trust. And I am working on rebuilding it. And I hope you'll give me that opportunity. I said, if that would happen, I think everyone would just give more grace. And my lead was like, that would be nice. You know, we just kind of like left it at that. And then I came to life group that night, on Thursday night. And our whole teaching was on discipleship of people and how, like, that's our job as Christ followers, is we're always supposed to be, like, discipling people and pointing them in direction, the right direction. And as I'm watching this video, this teaching, Holy Spirit just taps me on the shoulder and says, who's going to tell her how to fix this? And I'm like, well, I'm not her boss. And he said, but I'm your boss. And he just reminded me, like, Paula, corporate America doesn't take me to work with them. Corporate America doesn't teach my principles, but I've put you in a place where you can carry my principles. And if you don't tell her this, who will? I was like, whoa. So I showed up to work on Friday morning, and I sent her a Teams message, and I said, do you have a couple minutes to talk today? She said, yeah, you can come at 9:30. So I went at 9:30 up to her office. I shut the door, and I pulled up a chair, and I looked at her, and I said exactly what I had shared. I actually started with this is the words that God gave me. I said, you know, when you took this position, when you were given this position, our whole team was kind of like, I don't know about this. And I said, but you proved us wrong. Do you see how that, like, this is what God does. He encourages us before he's like, and now here's the way how you need to improve. I said, you proved us wrong. You did it. You built this team. You were doing the things. And we were like, you got this. We were your biggest cheerleaders. She said, I know, I felt that. Our team was so close. I said, yeah, until it wasn't. And I said, I think if you would just take ownership and let the team know that you recognize you have failed in some ways and that you are trying to rebuild our trust, everyone will change the way that they're looking at you, the way that they're responding to you. I think everyone will operate in more grace. And guys, I'm not kidding you. When her, she went like this. She said, Paula, I would have never thought to do that. but I can feel like that's right. And she does not follow Jesus. But Holy Spirit doesn't care. He doesn't care if you believe or not. He still speaks. I can feel that that's right, she said. Now, here's what I know. I do not know what she's going to do with that information. I have no idea. I don't know what the outcome of that conversation is going to be. But what I do know is this. I was obedient to what God asked me to do, and I planted a seed out of love. I showed her love, even though I filed many complaints against her. I still showed her love. And that's all that Jesus asks us to do. You can still speak truth and do it in love. I'm going to invite everyone just to bow their heads right now. Close your eyes. I want to give everyone an opportunity just to take an inventory of your heart right now. If you're here today, and you know that you have not been living a life that first and foremost is a life of loving God, you recognize that you have not accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation. You've not invited him to forgive you. Maybe you have in the past, but you found that you're no longer walking the same path that you were at once. If that's you today, and you need to say, yes, Jesus, I need you, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand right now. 1, 2. Come on. 3. That's so good. 4, 5. Woo! Come on. You can put your hands down. We're going to all pray together right now. Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.